Morning, Faith Walkers. Today we're in Psalm 132. And we're talking about the mountain that God chose for us to worship on for the rest of eternity. Called Mount Zion. God promises that if we're obedient to His Word, then He'll lead us to that place that He has prepared for us for eternally, a life eternal with Him. The first part of the psalm just tells us how much God loves us, and if we're being willing to be obedient, then the second part of the psalm is the result. He'll get us to where He wants us to be. Because what He starts, He finishes. So I asked Joe, I forgot my glasses, so I asked Joe to read 11 through 18 in Psalm 132.
The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, you will not turn from him. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will come, my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest and her priest with salvation, and her saints shall allow for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish.
Thank you, Joe. I need my sword, though. I got it. Faith in the Bible is taking God at His word because of who He is and what He wants to do for us. And what He wants to do for us is to give us everything we need for life and for godliness. And not just in this lifetime down here on this earth, but also an eternal lifetime with God in a place called the Kingdom of Heaven, a kingdom that is full of only righteousness. I don't think it's any skin off of God's nose when an angel sins against God. Because an angel isn't created in God's image. But when a creature that's created in God's image says to his creator, I don't want to know you anymore. I don't want to walk with you anymore. Because I've been told that you can't be trusted to tell me the truth. So I decided to put myself on the broad road. I decided to put myself on the broad way of thinking and of doing things. Because your way is too narrow-minded for me. So I decided to do it just like that song that Frank Sinatra used to sing. I decided to do it my way. That's got to be like a spear going through God's heart. Because God's will for my life is not a roadmap. God's will for my life is a relationship with Him. So that Christ could shine His light in and through us and me, so that we could be salt and light in the world. So I don't find the will of God. The will of God finds me. And when the will of God finds me, I must respond. And I must respond to it immediately. Because of who He is. You don't keep God waiting. God tells us He will not be mocked. Because this book tells me I'm already programmed for the lake of fire. So obedience in the Bible is not, here is the Big Ten. Now go obey them or else I'm sending you to hell. So it's not, this is what I do and this is what I don't do so that I can keep myself out of the fires of hell, because I can't keep myself out of the fires of hell. If I'm already programmed for the fires of hell, because we are already dead in sin through Adam, then only God can reverse the curse of that program by giving us eternal life. So obedience in the Bible is, which God do I want to love, trust, and obey? And even die for if I have to. Is it going to be the God that can give me life eternal? Or that old serpent, that old sin nature that I was already born with, that's already given me spiritual death through the seed of Adam? That old serpent that tells me I can be my own God. Greg just said, Jesus said, if you love me, then you will obey my commandment. So, if we already know Jesus came to die so that we could have life, and history already tells us He's already died, then what should be our next step of obedience? Choose life. And that's why God wants us to have the Holy Spirit, because the world tells us half the story, what we know in the flesh, and then, like Paul Harvey says, the Holy Spirit gives us the rest of the story. And that's what Jesus, when He met the woman at the well, that's what He was trying to tell her. That the time has now come where we no longer worship according just to the flesh, just half of the story, but in spirit and in truth, so that the Holy Spirit living in us could lead us into all truth. And that's why it's very important we receive the Holy Spirit right away, or else you're never going to know what God is trying to tell you to be obedient to. He's already paid it all, so all we have to do is accept the resurrection, the Holy Spirit living in us. And we're saved by faith. And That's why every time I pull into this parking lot, I have to pray for our Jewish friends that are across the way. Who are still in bondage to the old covenant. Still getting their sins forgiven on the Day of Atonement. And Jesus paid it all. And if they would just love Jesus and take the next step of obedience, they could have eternal life. How sad is that? That's why no man goes to hell by accident. We go to hell because we refuse life. Whose life? Christ's life living in us, our only hope of glory. Mike Casey's favorite passage. So So being obedient in choosing life is not much of a burden, is it? Our God, Father, is making us an offer we can't refuse. And yet Jesus tells us in Matthew, hell is going to be overcrowded with people who claim to know Jesus. So why is it so hard to have ears to hear God's word? And the reason is because unless we take the next step of obedience and repent and get our hearts right with God, He will make sure we never have the ears to hear. Whether we are lost or saved, God in His mercy is always for us. He is never against us, as long as we're still on this side of the curtain. Because Satan, who's already given us death, is already against us. Could you imagine if both God and Satan were against us at the same time? We'd be a mess. It's a spiritual war that's going on for the minds and souls of men. Satan seduces us by gratifying the flesh and going after half gods, half gospels. But God uses truth to win us over to Him. God cannot trust a fallen race to do the right thing. He could only trust them to do the wrong thing. And sending a flood to destroy them every 500 years is not going to change things. So God has to do the right thing for us. So instead of destroying us over and over and over again, He decided to make covenants with them and instructs them to choose the light and not the darkness, to choose to live by faith in Him, not by sight of the flesh. Romans chapter 4 tells us Abraham was justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Abraham was doing for God? No. Faith in what God wanted to do for Abraham. And that's saving faith. That's the faith that God credits us as righteousness. Today, we are no longer in bondage to the old covenant. God does not live in two covenants at the same time. You cannot legally have two active wills at the same time. You cannot follow two masters. When God decides to move forward, He never looks back, especially when they rejected Him in the old. Peter says it would be like a dog returning back to his vomit. So God chose a different mountain. A mountain He chose for His future Messiah, called Mount Zion, or Mount Moriah back in Abraham's time. The mountain that Jesus was going to usher in the new covenant. So as faithful children of God, saved by grace, we also continue in the same direction. Our Father is taking us to, and we never will go back to Mount Sinai, period. We persevere forward to our new mountain. The mountain our Father chose to redeem us, not just the religious Jews, but also the heathenistic Gentiles. That would be us, except for Sandy. The mountain He chose to plant His cross on. And not just the cross, but also the empty tomb. And not just the empty tomb, but also the act at Pentecost. So that God could verse, that curse called death, but only if we're willing to surrender our lives to Christ so that he can make a new creation out of us through his death, burial, and resurrection, so that we can receive by faith his resurrected life to live in us, our only hope of glory. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. That is God's invitation to the whole world, to come to his Son so they may have eternal life. So Stosh, are you saying all I have to do is to believe in Jesus and I am saved? No. Because that would be too vague. I wish it was that easy. Every covenant has a new condition. So every covenant, every time we enter into a covenant with God, we stand on holy ground. And we must swear to the Lord our promise, our pledge, our faith. And the pledge of every believer must be done at the cross when he's judging our sins. And here's what the pledge sounds like when we get water baptized, when we get dunked, and we make our pledge before we get baptized. If I'm willing to repent, if I'm willing to call him Lord, if I'm willing to be obedient and only follow him and only follow his instructions and his direction so that only he can work out his redemption plan for my life. And all I have to do is to say in my heart, by faith, I do. And he will take care of everything else, he promises. Because what our Lord starts, he finishes. God must give us the freedom to choose which mountain we want to be saved on. The mountain that is still in the wilderness, Mount Sinai, where you could live your eternal life with God, but only if you know you are without sin, just like Jesus was and is. If you know you're perfect, never had one bad deed or one bad thought. Or if you know that you have already committed your first sin and you are no longer perfect, you're already dead in the water because the wages of sin is death, and that would be all of us, and that's why God tells us there is no one righteous, no, not one, we are all guilty of sin, then God in his grace and his mercy is willing to give us a second chance so that he can reverse the curse called death, eternal separation from the living God, in a place called the lake of fire. But only if we are willing to be obedient, if we are willing to follow Jesus and ascend with him to the top of that Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, and follow his instructions perfectly, just as Abraham did, and accept it by faith, God promises we shall be saved. But if we are not willing to confess to God that I am my own God, I am not my own God. That's what I have to confess. I am a wicked sinner and I need saving. Then that's pride. And God rejects the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. And the wages of sin, called pride, is death. And it's appointed for every man to die once, and then the judgment. And when God judges me, He doesn't want to judge me on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Because you won't find any mercy on the wrong side of the river. You won't find mercy at Mount Sinai. Why? Because no one who was born from the seed of Adam can make himself perfect. Only the one who was born from the seed of the Virgin was perfect. And that perfect life of Christ Jesus better be living in me before I leave this earth, or else God's got a place for me that's going to be hotter than Texas. Because when God judges me, I have to be accountable for everything God has given me for life and for godliness in my lifetime. My life did not begin B.C., before the cross. I know I'm old, but I'm not that old. So when God judges me, He's not going to judge me B.C., when they were still killing bulls and goats in order to get their sins forgiven. Because in God's Bible, God says there can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Because my sins have to be paid for to protect me from the wrath of God. So He is not going to say to me, Stash, how many banks did you rob? And how many orgies did you go to? In other words, how many bad things did you do? And how many bad thoughts did you have? So that I know how many bulls and goats I got to kill in order to get rid of your sins. So you don't have to go to hell. God has no choice but to judge me AD. It's a Latin word that means after the cross. Because that's the time period I was born in. So when God judges me, He has no choice but to say to me, Stash, what did you do with everything I have given you for life here on earth and for life in eternity? In other words, what did you do with my son? Did you poo-poo him? Did you ignore him? Did you take him at his word, just like you promised? When he said from the cross, it's finished, paid in full, so that you can enter into his Sabbath rest? So that you can enter into the promised land where He is today, called the New Covenant, that He bought and paid for with His own blood. So that you could have everything you need for life and for godliness. So that you could worship God today the way He wants to be worshipped, in spirit and in truth. So that He could give you rivers of living water. So you no longer have to be mean as a hornet. So that He can give you the Holy Spirit living in you, so you could produce good fruit in and through you. through his resurrected life. So that you could be safe from the wrath of God until he comes back to receive you unto himself, whether it's in death or in the rapture, whatever God decides to do first. What did you do, Stosh, when you walked with him through the pages of the only book that the Spirit of God has ever written, called Holy Scripture? And you followed him to that high ground of Mount Zion, where Abraham was justified by faith and perfect obedience to God's instructions. When Abraham was going to sacrifice his one and only son. And then 2,000 years later, Jesus planted his cross on that same rock called Golgotha. And he said to you, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." In other words, eat and drink the living words of God. But why, Lord? Why must I eat and drink the living word of God? Because man does not live forever, Stosh, on just physical bread alone, but on every spiritual word of God. Because God is spirit, so you must worship him in spirit, in his spirit, and in his truth, not in the spirit of men and error. So that he can make a true disciple out of you. So that he can make a true witness out of you. Because tomorrow you may die. And not just you may die, but everyone you love may die. And not just everyone you love may die, but your enemies may die. Including President Obama, whom I'm commanding you to love and to pray for, so that he too won't perish in the wilderness. So if you love me, then obey my commandments. Eat. It's a commandment. Be satisfied. It's a commandment. And believe by faith. It's a commandment. So that you could know that it is finished, paid in full. So all you have to do now is receive my life by faith. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Make sure, Stosh, when you hear God calling you to repentance through his word, so that you can follow God's one and only Son on that long journey of obedience, only through his directions. Make sure you're not coming to him the way Judas was coming to him, with his own agenda. Make sure you're not holding hands with your father, the devil, called the sin of unbelief that causes all disobedience to God's instructions. Make sure, Stosh, you're still not holding on to your own sacrificial system of getting your sins forgiven instead of knowing it's finished. You have been forgiven so that you can receive life eternal. Make sure, Stosh, you're still not holding on to that little bag of fig leaves that the world, the flesh, and the devil love to give us called, "I can do it my way." Make sure, Stosh, that when you're coming, make sure you're coming with clean hands and a pure heart that's telling God, I surrender. It's no longer my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So help me, God. Save me. Because our Lord went through a lot of trouble, a lot of pain on the cross, so that he could pour out his blessings upon us, the whosoevers, who take God at his word, especially when he's talking to us from the cross, especially when he's talking to us from the centrality of God's glory, because of who he was and is and always will be. The God of grace. The God of mercy. The God of compassion. Who loves to set the captives free from religious bondage and religious condemnation, so that we could be a blessing. Not just for our Holy Father who is in heaven, but also for our fellow man as well. Please pray. Father, oh Father, we don't deserve your love. We are all idolaters of this generation. But you never gave up on us. You came looking for us. And we love you because you found us. And that's why we're here at Faith Walkers today. So that we could learn your obedience. So that we can take our next step of obedience in the direction that you want us to go. So let these things today be made for your glory. And we pray this through your precious Son's blood. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Enjoy your resurrection weekend next week.